political day in Sonoma County. It is day two of the, at least of the induction, I suppose, of the Senate part of the impeachment of Donald Trump. The trial in the Senate takes place again, gets underway again at in a few minutes at 10 o'clock our time this morning. And for that and other political news, let's talk to Brian Sobel. He is with Sobel Communications in Petaluma. Brian, good to talk to you.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. So 11 million of us have been watching since the Senate took over their part of the impeachment proceedings in Washington, D.C. Is that a good sign that the American public is engaged?
Well, if you think about it, a highly rated cable network, TV news broadcast, any pick 'em, say one running on CNN or Fox or MSNBC, may garner 3 to 4 million viewers. So if you extrapolate that and say 11 million, I'd say it's still not something. It's not must see TV by a lot of Americans.
Yeah, that's very true. And we are learning. And for a lot of people, especially the folks for whom this is their first experience of anything like this, there is a lot to learn about it. Doesn't sound exactly like the entire body of the Senate is riveted, even though they're in the same room as the impeachment trial continues. And what's your expectation for this segment of it, these opening arguments?
Well, the Democratic House managers are making their case for impeachment. Then the, of course, White House counsel will get their time to rebut that. And then it will go to the jurors, the Senate of the United States.
Yep.
And as you point out, the idea that the senators have to sit there pretty much motionless. They're not allowed to communicate.
Silent, yeah.
They're not allowed to communicate and wander around, which senators love to do, is excruciating for them. And so you're seeing senators stand up, you know, stretch their backs, stand against the wall, try to remain awake. It's tedious testimony.
What does this do? And again, we're only watching sort of part one of the opening arguments. But what does being in this position do for Adam Schiff?
Well, it depends. If Adam Schiff comes out of this as somebody who, in his attempt and his zeal to impeach the president, comes off as sort of over the line, it won't bode well for him. On the other hand, if he were to really come out of this as a shining star, then maybe he could do some other things in politics. You know, one wonders with all of these people what their futures are. You never know.
Yeah, that's for sure. But we will, I'm sure we'll see some kind of a bump for those most in the limelight. And I guess one of the things that has surprised me so far, Brian, is the varying rules and regulations of an impeachment proceeding, that change and they differ and all of that. There are really, you know, no set rules that each impeachment proceeding needs to follow.
Well, and Pat, you raise a very interesting and relevant point. The Constitution provides for impeachment for a very vague phrase, high crimes and misdemeanors, which is pretty much what somebody wants to be. It's sort of like at a local level, more local level, the use of recall is bandied about. Well, you can recall a public official for anything or nothing. There is no standard. You have become tired of that public official for one reason or another, maybe their positions on things, and you decide you no longer want them representing you. Well, impeachment is sort of at the top of that sort of decision tree, in the sense that in this case it applies to a president. But the Constitution's vague, and so the rules around how you prosecute impeachment morph and change and are made up by the body that is dealing with it at the time they're dealing with it. And that's why there's no there's no historical precedent for some of the decisions being made here, although impeachment is impeachment.
Yeah. And there are differences, obviously, than trials than that we are used to. I mean, for one thing, I don't remember the last trial I ever heard about or read about that didn't provide any witnesses. That's quite unusual.
This is the Democrats' point here, is the impeachment should bring witnesses, but then you get into an argument about which witnesses you bring, or any witnesses at all. Of course, Republicans are saying this whole impeachment case was the House's responsibility, House of Representatives' responsibility. When they completed it, they put it into the lap of the Senate. Many senators are saying, hey, that's the case. It is not for us to further expand the case. The House prosecuted it, and now we're the jurors who are sitting in on the evidence and going to make a decision about it. But again, it depends on where you are on the scale, or really politically speaking. If you're a Republican, you say, hey, this is a put-up job. And by the way, if we're going to have witnesses, let's have Joe and Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Because much of this has to do with Ukraine. And Democrats are saying, hey, Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have nothing to do with whatever the president of the United States did. So you just have basic differences and arguments between the parties. And for people who are listening today, I don't think anybody needs to be reminded that Republicans have a majority in the Senate.
Yeah.
And it takes 67 senators to impeach a president, so that's a huge number of Republicans coming over along with the Democrats, and so that's a dynamic at play here.
Well, and I can't believe, Brian, frankly, personally, that I have any more pie in the sky notions in me, but yet for something of this magnitude, I do. You know, in terms, we know what partisan politics looks like. We see it all the time, no matter who's in the White House.
Right.
And we see it on both sides of the aisle. And yet it would seem that for something of this import, that the subject and not the partisanship should be the deal.
Well, yes, and that's the highest hope of, Abraham Lincoln called the better angels of their nature. And you'd hope that would occur. But history tells us, and the history of this republic tells us, that this isn't new. This goes back to the earliest days of the republic. Previous impeachments, previous pendulum swings of power. And as I like to say, we're a big, broad-shouldered country, and whatever happens here, we'll move on. This is a really, really unfortunate time. Sadly, since 2016, we've had this divisive situation in America because a whole lot of people were really not happy with the election of Trump. And the election of Trump through the Electoral College, which is a whole other issue, Pat, versus the popular vote. And so there's a lot of people who say, hey, he didn't win the popular vote, and so why is he president? So there was sort of a group of people who said, hey, this president isn't legitimate in the first place. And a lot of this impeachment talk and resist talk started one day after the president was in office, to be fair to history. And so, I think how that has manifested itself is, for a lot of people in the country, their answer to impeachment is, well, is anybody surprised about this? This was being cooked into the pie right from the beginning. And that's why
we
have 11 million people watching.
Very, very true. And let's talk about the people who might end up in the Oval Office. Bernie Sanders, something of a resurgence for him.
Yeah.
And in some polls, he is at or above the numbers for Joe Biden, regardless of what Hillary Clinton had to say about him in her documentary. What do you make of this?
Well, the issue with Joe Biden, and we're talking with lots of people and seeing polling, is there is a concern that Joe Biden is looking a little befuddled, and he hasn't had great debates. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders, who's also up there in age, after his heart attack and so forth, is just banging away as Bernie Sanders always does. And for some part of this country, he resonates. He is saying, hey, we're a big country. We should be able to afford medical care for all. We should be able to afford child care and these other things that he's talking about, including climate change. And he's got a broad agenda. I think when you sit back and look at it, I think people will eventually say, well, how are we going to pay for all this? But the ideas are broad, and the vision that he's painting is broad. And I think that's why he's attractive to a lot of people.
And it looked like, Brian, for a minute or two there, that Elizabeth Warren was getting a sure footing in this race. Not so much maybe in the last couple of weeks, but she still is in the conversation anyway.
Oh, no, she's definitely in the conversation. And, we'll see as we get into the caucuses and the primaries where she shakes out. But one thing keeps coming through with her, and that is that there's, side by side with Bernie, there's sort of, Bernie, whether you agree with him or don't agree with him, do agree or don't agree, you come away saying, hey, he seems like a likable guy. A lot of people feel like Elizabeth Warren doesn't fall into that same category, and some of her comments and things are off-putting to people, and that's showing up and I think affecting her.
Yeah, I think so too. And there are there's sort of the underlying thing too. Not that there's no truth to that about Elizabeth Warren or her personality, but that women are judged differently than men are.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's just part of the reality of it.
Well, yeah, you have to hit that one, head on.
Yeah.
If Elizabeth Warren is raising her voice, making a point strongly, taking on people, she's judged differently than when a man raises his voice or takes on people. He's called courageous and she's called shrill.
Well, one day that will be different, Brian. In heaven.
Yeah. Well, we hope you're even on earth.
Yes, I hope so too. Great to talk to you again, Brian. Thanks for contributing. Appreciate your presence here.
Absolutely. Take care, Pat.
That is Brian Sobel from Sobel Communications in Petaluma.